Good morning, and a warm welcome to you all on this sunny day. Oh, that, it was when I wrote it. If this is your first visit, you're most welcome. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall. This morning we will be sharing this time with the Quakers who have been using our upper hall on Sundays whilst their new premises is being built. Today we celebrate our time together with cakes after this service, and also this evening at 6:30 our reflective service will be led by the Quakers. That's it.
And a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare a way for the God who rides on the clouds. Prepare a way for the God who protects the vulnerable. Prepare a way for the God who offers us freedom. Let us be glad to be gathering in God's presence. We join to sing, Angel Voices Ever Singing. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. to you, Jesus Christ, cross bearer. In the heat of the day, through pain, exhaustion, and despair, you forgive us and set us on the road to life. Glory to you, Jesus Christ, death hugger. In the dark of the tomb, through loss, denial, and emptiness, you affirm us and set us on the road to life. Glory to you, Jesus Christ, tomb quitter. In the glinting sunrise, through greeting, naming, and knowing, you energize us and set us on the road to life. Awesome God, your strength and power amaze us. We recall the stories of your people and we praise you. And may your power and strength flow into us as we tell new stories of your love and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let me ask you this question. Have any of you finished anything this week? Anybody finished something this week? I've written myself a crib sheet. Oh. You finished dinner? Lots of us have finished lots of things. Anybody finished a big project this week? Exactly right. Painting the garden fence. Fabulous feeling. You've done it. Anybody finished a project this week? Finished a novel? That's a good feeling. Slam that book and then look at that pile. Look at that pile of books that's still to be read. Yes? Finished? Exactly right. How long have you been planning to clean the cupboard up? 18 months. And this week, and don't laugh in the sense of, ha, 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 look at her. Laugh in the sense of, ha, ha, ha. We all know what it is to have those dark and dismal cupboards that need a good clean. Right. Finished. The story that we're going to look at today is a story about Jesus, just as he heads towards the cross, saying goodbye to the disciples, and his time on the earth is coming to an end. Heading to the cross, heading towards death, on the cross he will say, "It is finished. The task that I set off to do, I have done it." And then... then what happens? We go through resurrection, and next week we will celebrate the next phase. What's next Sunday? Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit, because it is finished. Jesus' time on the earth is at an end, and now the job of being Jesus on the earth is the job of us, the disciples once upon a time, and now, if people want to know about Jesus, who are the people that they have to turn to? Us. How scary is that, my friends? And wait till you hear this reading, and if you think that's frightening, wait till you hear what Jesus had to say. We're going to sing. Just as a warm-up to this notion of spirit. Father, we love you. We have been looking at the long sermon as presented in the Gospel according to John of the words of Jesus as he gets ready to head towards cross, resurrection, leaving the disciples, saying words of comfort that the Holy Spirit will come. And this is a passage which is all about glorification. And Jim Menzies will read it to us. Jim is Helen's brother. He's on his holidays. Comes on his holidays for a wee bit of rest. And Stella collars him to read. Sheesh. What a generous chap you are, Jim.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's reading is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus finished saying this, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all mankind, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
The context of this reading is very important. A thing you have to keep on reminding yourself. This is not the story, the words of a man who was about to withdraw to his place in Spain to lie on silken sheets. He speaks of the glory of God being glorified himself as the shadow of the cross hangs in the room. The word that is used in the Greek for glory is translated by 24 different expressions in the Hebrew. The main message, though, is that God is too brilliant for us to look at. Too bright, too pure, too clean, too piercing, too much purity for our smutty eyes, so we hide. St. Augustine equated glory with celebrity. But I think that's about language in a state of change, because I don't think we would equate. It'll be interesting, we're at the 11:30, we're going to go through an alphabet of things about glory, and I will be amazed. Wait, it's going to happen now, but I would have been amazed when we get to the letter C and somebody shouts out celebrity. I know it's going to happen. I don't think we would put celebrity and glory together. It's not about glory, it's not about popularity, and it's not about media presence. Glory. Moltmann describes his experiences of being in a prison of war camp and hearing these words, remembering these words about God's glory in his time of suffering. To hear the promises in such a difficult and a dark place. Context. Jesus says these words about being glorified and the shadow of the cross. In the Gospel according to John, the Gospel according to John, as you know, just let me remind you, is the what is usually thought of as being the oldest of the Gospels. It's the one that was written the last. So it's the gospel that reflects the thinking of the church about who Jesus is, as much as events. This is more reflective. So in the gospel according to John, the way it's presented, it's all about signs. Who is this man? Signs, all the way through. So you get the sign of the water and the wine. You get 3 big healing miracles. You get the feeding of the 5,000. You get walking on water. You get the raising of Lazarus only in the gospel according to John. And then post-resurrection, you get the sign of the miraculous, what's it usually called, the draught of fish. All that big miracle at that point. It's a sign. Who is he? And Jesus, as he is living his life, is living a life that says to them, there's more going on than is usual here. There's more going on than you usually see. And before he leaves to go to his death, before he goes to his glory, he prays. He prays for the disciples. He prays for us. And he prayed, it's all about God's glory. If I said to you, God's glory, I think we would probably start talking about mountaintops, sunsets, sunrises. We talk about quietness, about beauty. We talk about creation. No, my friends, according to Jesus, it's about the stale smell of blood. It's about where men sit playing board games with dice. It's about the odour of stale vinegar and unwashed bodies. It's about weeping, alternating with the cries of agony. It's about where mercy is absent and death cannot come quickly enough. And the table points to that glory. Stark offering of bread and wine. Nothing fancy, nothing special, every day, but crushed grapes, squeezed corn every day, and not suffering free. So there's a right royal contrast, is there not, between the way that glory, and this bit in John. The idea that God will be glorified through the death on the cross. And all around us, all our lives, we spend the whole of our time surrounded by that which is within the love of God, but is a secular understanding of life. And we need to spend our time checking out, does this match with a biblical understanding? Does this match with Jesus? All the time. That is our calling. And how are we going to know? We're going to know because we spend time when we gather to worship, we spend time praying, we spend time reading the Bible, we spend time reading the things of the faith. And that educates us. And then we can work it out. Because if we don't empower ourselves and educate ourselves, we're going to get suckered by every bit of nonsensical, homespun, worldly wisdom. We as people of the flesh are not rejoicing at the idea of being glorified through the cross. It doesn't appeal. Our flesh is frail and easily hurt. But Jesus, who is our model, says the ultimate truth, ultimate glory. But it's about seeing with eyes of faith. So at the end, Jesus says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shone through them. All I have, and my glory is shown through them. My glory, says Jesus, is shown through people like us. Disciples, part of a thread leading to us. The glory of God is shown through people like us. And if you thought, I don't know about you, but if you thought that the cross as a model of glory was hard to get your head round, how much harder is it to get the idea that we are the people who show the glory of God? And yet, I came into the building this week, one day, and the downstairs toilet had exploded. It wasn't pretty. I was told, don't look to the left, Leslie, you go down to your vestry. I didn't. The downstairs toilet had exploded. And Catherine and Stuart had quietly and efficiently sealed the door, got the plumber, got the cleaner, sorted it. I came into the building and there was One of the guys who comes into the foyer, who I now know was going into hospital, was just sitting, having a laugh and a joke with a member of the church who was there as a listener. Somebody on his own, somebody there to listen and to encourage and to talk with him. And the coffee service was running quietly, efficiently, effectively. And the people that were on coffee duty, one, were not both members of the church. And there were these two people sitting quietly, chatting to each other. One, an older woman, bereaved older woman, and one, a younger woman with mental health issues. Signs of the kingdom. The glory of God revealed in ordinary people like us. Let us pray. Living God, we bring our prayers for the church, asking that in these days there may be an increasing openness to your Spirit. New experiences of delight in life, new hope arising from disappointment, from loss, from grief, and the certainty of death. We pray that the church may be ever alive to the possibilities of healing and helpfulness. That is part of the proclamation of your word. Ever open to meet the needs of women and men in their distress, their spiritual blindness, or their despair. And have the confidence to give an account of the good news that is in us. We pray for those whose way through life is hindered by illness, by hunger, by homelessness, by illiteracy. We pray for those whose hopes have been shattered and for those who never had hope in the first place. Let your power in your people bring peace, hope, and joy to every dark place. Healing for those who are ill, food for those who are hungry, shelter for those who are homeless, teaching for those who are illiterate. And support for those who seek to do your will, to see your kingdom come. We hold up before you, O God, those who are new to being councillors and MEPs. And we particularly hold up the new council in the Royal Borough of Kingston in this time of transition. Let your justice reign, O God. We pray for those who've asked us to pray for them, those whose causes are close to our hearts and will not leave our minds. We pray for ourselves. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to receive. Give us voice to proclaim and the will to accomplish all you purpose in us. So that your glory in Christ may shine for all humanity and your perfect will at last be done. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money, and we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. Accept the praise we offer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together to sing, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Things before we start. When it comes to communion, you stay where you are and the elders will bring things to you. They'll bring out the bread first. If you want to, you take a piece, you have a moment, then you eat it. When you get the wine, you get a glass and you keep it, and then we all drink together. When you are offered the plate, you'll notice that there is a bread in the middle and then there is some biscuit. That's for those of us who have issues with wheat and with gluten. And the only wine that we have on offer has got no alcohol in it, so that those of us who have issues with alcohol, we may all drink together. Jesus spoke to those we find difficult to approach. He touched some that others would have called untouchable and opened the doors of new possibilities for them. Jesus opened the door between earth and heaven and invited us in to begin a fresh understanding of God. Jesus crossed the threshold between heaven and earth, breaking down the slammed door, ignoring the no entry sign, smashed through and invited everyone to come to God. At this table, we believe that everyone is welcome. The Lord Jesus invites us again and again to go through the door and start new possibilities, whatever the state of your mind, your health, or your spirit. And then encourages us to show others the way through the open door of God's love. Again, the words of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we take these gifts, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. All-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. You, with our only begotten Son, the Holy Spirit, you are God. You are God, one immortal, incorruptible and unmoving, invisible and faithful, wonderful and worthy of praise, strong and worthy of honor. You are God, most high and magnificent, living and true, wise and powerful, holy and splendid, great and good. You are God, awesome and peace-loving, beautiful and righteous, pure and kind, blessed and just, tender and holy. You are God, not in the singular of one person, but in the Trinity of substance. We believe you. We bless you. We adore you. Through Christ, who is the salvation of the universe, through Christ, who is the life of human beings, through Christ, who is the resurrection of the dead, grant, we pray, that our voices may be admitted to that chorus of those who will sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And may this bread and this wine take us to the cross and to you, our God, glorified. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Alleluia. Amen. Glorified through bread. Glorified through wine. Glorified through us as we eat and drink. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. The meal had ended. Plates and cups littered the table. Bowls with water to wash hands sat in puddles and drips. He lifted his eyes heavenward. His heart strained towards his Father, swollen with love for those given him, those whose daily presence had attended him. He set his face towards the cross. Soon the violent birth pangs would begin, and so he prayed for them, for protection, for conviction. He stood in the breach, extending one hand to his Father and the other to his friends, linking heaven and earth forever. Forever linking heaven and earth, his prayer lingers in the air, covering the faithful from age to age, infusing courage in every generation. Lord, the meal does not end. The prayer clings to bread and wine, invigorates bowls of water, binds us one to another. Lord Jesus Christ, never let us go. Amen. Final hymn, 495, Father, hear the prayer we offer. And to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those whom we love, wherever they are. Amen.